Dr. C here. Before we begin, I'd like to make sure that you're aware that this podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp.com. BetterHelp is a leading provider of online therapy, and they provide video, phone, or live chat sessions with a licensed professional therapist. It's affordable, and you can connect with your therapist within 48 hours. Now, as a special offer to our Surviving Narcissism listeners, they'll offer a 10% discount for your first month of professional therapy. All you have to do is go to BetterHelp.com, that's BetterHelp.com/Surviving Narcissism Podcast. Now, I know that many of you would find online therapy to be quite life-changing, and so go to BetterHelp.com/Surviving Narcissism Podcast, and many thanks to the people at BetterHelp for sponsoring our podcast.
Welcome to this week's episode of the Surviving Narcissism Podcast. This is Michaela, the program director, and I would like to start this episode with a short introduction. For those of you new to this podcast, Surviving Narcissism is the product of many years of work done by Dr. Les Carter. Dr. Carter is a best-selling author and therapist with more than 40 years of experience, specializing in anger management and narcissistic personality disorder. This week, Dr. C's topic will be, Why do narcissists need you as a foil?
Hey, Team Healthy. I want to talk with you today about how we get to know one another and what kinds of motives we can have as we learn more and more about each other's personal lives. There's a phrase that I like to use, and I want you to see if you can agree with this. The phrase is, everyone's normal until you get to know them. You know, it's inevitable as we see one another in our social milieu and we're on our best behavior. You know, you can give the impression that things are okay and you don't have that many difficulties and, you know, everybody you know is a little bit above average. And so we put our best foot out there. And of course, there's a certain normalcy about that. But over time, as you get to know individuals, you begin realizing, okay, well, you have your foibles just like I do. You have your highs and your lows just as I do. And as we get to know each other, let's see if we can know those things about one another so that we can be that much more purposeful and meaningful in the way that we engage with one another. As an aside, my wife and I have been living in the Waco area for about 2 years now. And we had lived our entire adult lives in the Dallas, Texas area. And so we retired a couple of years ago and came down to Waco, a couple hours south of that metroplex. And as a result, we've connected, of course, with family that brought us here and some old friends that I've known and some people that are new to us. And we're really enjoying getting to know people so that we can just have that much more of a sense of connection to the town now that we're going to be in for hopefully the rest of our years together. And part of it is as we engage with people and learn more about them, my wife and I specifically have talked about how it's enjoyable to know not just the good things about people, but about their garbage too. Now, obviously I'm a therapist and I try to be as realistic as I can. And whenever I find out about somebody's strains and difficulties, I think I know what to do with it. But you see, we start with the notion that says nobody's perfect and nobody has their act together in such a wonderful way that we're immune to strain and difficulty. And so as I get to know you and as you get to know me on any kind of full level, why don't we just go ahead and include the sum total of what we are? Now, obviously with narcissists, that's a bit scary, and I'll be getting to that in just a moment. But basically, we have a word for what I'm talking about. It's called authenticity. It's called being genuine. When you get to know me, you get to know the sum total of who I am. And it's not something we're just going to dive into and sharing our personal junk literally in the first 10 minutes that we meet somebody. But over time, as we get to know people, these kinds of our humanity is going to show up and we make room for that. Narcissists are scared to death to let themselves be fully known. And eventually, as you get to try to get to know them, you'll find it because that pattern will reveal itself. Narcissists are in a constant fear mode. They're in a constant mode that says, well, I've got to be careful about who I share myself with and what I say about myself, but here's what I'm going to do. I'll go ahead and gather as much data as I possibly can about you so that if I have a need to play the Trump card, I'm going to get some information. And so as they get to know who you are and as they engage with you, they like finding out some of the dirt about you, even as they try to dress up some of the negatives about themselves. Keep in mind, a starting point for narcissists is they're in comparison mode. And they're constantly thinking, well, between you and me, which one of us is better? Which one of us is more appropriate? Which one of us has the correct opinions? Which one of us has the priorities or the preferences that that would be deemed to be most superior? And of course, they're thinking, well, that's kind of an easy one to answer. Me, I'm better than you. And like I say, they live in fear of being exposed. They don't like their negatives being exposed. So what they do is they're watching and observing you for narcissistic supply. They want you to give them admiration and cooperation and harmonizing, you moving toward them. And they may actually give a bit of an impression that they're willing to do so in reverse. But all the while, they're thinking, I need to make sure as I engage with you that I find ways to stay on the superior side. And so they want to be in that comparatively higher position. And so they have all sorts of ways to elevate themselves and devalue you. But initially, you just simply tend not to see it. They've got to be the winner, which means that you are going to be the designated loser. And then whenever your usefulness to them is finished, then they can move on to someone else, or they'll remind you of how much contempt they hold you in. And you begin realizing over time that they've been building towards some sort of defamation of your character all along. And they're just waiting for the right moment to let you know how awful you really are. I mean, it's really weird the way they can sometimes think. I know that's not a psychological diagnosis, but that's the way I put it. So let's keep in mind that as these individuals are getting to know you, unlike the way my wife and I like to do it, thinking this will help us be more authentic, they're thinking, well, what I'd like to do is I'd like to learn how to know you most fully, so that I can use whatever information that I find out about you in a punitive kind of way. But in the meantime, I want you to think of me as being the standard bearer. I'm the smartest person here, or I'm the nicest person here, or I'm the one that has the better way of looking at things. And so that's how they think of themselves toward you. And then it sets up another part of their beginning thought, and that is, as you and I come to know one another, if there eventually is some form of discrepancy between you and me and how we look at the world, if there's some sort of problem, well, let's go ahead and decide in advance. It's going to be your fault, and that's you being the foil. You just don't know it quite yet. And so to them, a relationship is going to be very one-sided, and ultimately, and this is really sad to say, but it's going to be one big, long, extended manipulation. Only as time goes by do they show their colors, and as part of it, they wind up reminding you that they are indeed that better individual. So let me see if I can break this down and show you how they actually try to set themselves up as the standard bearer, and they, as a direct result of that, they wind up setting you up as the foil whenever a problem is eventually going to show up. Here's how it works. One of the things that they'll do is they'll try to glean details about you on all sorts of different topics. They like to know what your likes and dislikes are. They like to know what some of your historical events have been, you know, who you knew and what you've done and you know, what kind of pluses and minuses you've been through. What are some of your old hurts perhaps that you've lived with? What are some of the events that have been seminal in your life? And what they want to do is they want to give the impression that they're really into you. It's like, well, you know, I'd like to just, you know you from the inside out. Unfortunately, the sneaking part of all of that, and again, it's so frustrating because you don't want to just be paranoid, but the sneaky part of it is the more they know about you and the details about your life, they're collecting data, and whenever you then come along later on down the road and show yourself to, let's say you confront them or you show yourself to be too different, then they're going to start pulling out some of this information that they've gathered against you and say, well, okay, you and I are different. Let's talk about your tendency to do this as opposed to that. For example, I remember one man telling me that in his family of origin, there was a lot of anger that he had to learn how to deal with. And then he came to see me for counseling. And his whole thing was, I want to be someone who doesn't pass on the same tendencies that my family of origin taught to me. And of course, when somebody comes to my office and they talk like that, it's like, oh, that's like saying sick 'em to a dog. I really like that because it's like, well, let's talk about that. Well, as he began getting to know someone who eventually became his wife, he began telling her some of the same things about how his family of origin had this, that, and the other kind of problem. Later on, though, and this is when he began seeing me, he mentioned, you know, all of these different things that I shared about my family of origin and my poor reactions to what they gave to me, I was doing that in good faith. But then whenever we have a disagreement or there's some sort of a mix-up, then you know what I hear? Well, you're the one with the anger problems. You're the one who has the messed up family. And it's like, I'm trying to do something about it. But that's how they operate. They like learning things about you so that when they have a need to deflect attention away from themselves, they've got all the information in front of them that they like. So that's one of the things that they tend to do. Another thing that they'll do is they set you up to become the foil is they are quite willing to let you know about how enlightened they are. In other words, if you just keep hanging out with me, I'll tell you how to do things and I'll tell you how things ought to be managed and what opinions you need to have. And they just seem to have a pretty self-impressed way of looking and managing things around them. And many times they can be, you know, accurate with that. For example, some of these narcissistic individuals really are, they can be organized or they can be creative or they can be funny or maybe they know a lot of people or maybe they can say and do some things that that are helpful to you. And so it's like, see, I'm really kind of an enlightened person. I'm somebody that, well, I really know how to do things well, and they want to make sure that you know the pluses about them. Isn't that interesting? They want to know the negatives about you, but instead of turnabout's fair play, it's like, well, but I want you to know the positives about me. And even if they do share their own negatives, they do so in a backwards kind of way. For example, it might be they'll say, yeah, I've had some problems with my patients, but it's because of all these other individuals who gave me a reason to not be patient. But as a general rule, I know more about this and I know more about that. And they turn some of their own personal negatives into a proof of their own enlightenment. That's how they do things. But again, by letting you think, well, they know so much about how things ought to be, then as a result, then when it comes time to come to terms with some of the differences between you and that person, they'll remind you, you have these problems. Look at all the nice things that I know and how smart I am. Which one of us is the idiot here? And of course, the implied answer is you are. Okay. Another way that they'll set you up to be the foil is they can do favors for you. Now, you might think, well, is that a bad thing? Well, in healthy kind of relationships, It's like, well, that's what you want to do. You like to learn how to anticipate one another's needs and feelings and preferences. And narcissists can do the same thing. They'll try to figure out what you need and they can help you out with that. But the problem that that happens when you're dealing with a narcissist is you're dealing with somebody who also keeps a scorecard. It may be, well, I helped you on this project, or I got you out of that difficulty with this situation, and I did an extra favor for you that I didn't have to do, and it cost me half a day, but I did it for you anyway. And they're keeping score, and it's like, well, the score right now is 8 in my favor and 1 in your favor, so you still owe me. Look how devoted I am. And as a result, whenever things start going wrong, they'll pull that scoreboard out. And it's like, well, one of us in this equation needs to be the right one and one of us needs to be wrong. Look at what my scoreboard tells about me. And so you realize that even sometimes when they do nice things for you, it's for these kind of scheming kinds of ways. You just don't see it right up front. On our website, survivingnarcissism.tv, we offer various courses. One of them is entitled, This Is Me, Establishing Boundaries Despite the Controllers in Your Life. Inside each of my courses, I break it down into modules, and then each module consists of various lessons that have a video, written materials, and questions for personal reflection. And inside This Is Me, we talk about defining who you want to be and then staying inside that definition. We discuss assertiveness skills, how to stay strong without being defensive. If you would be interested in enrolling in this course or any of the others that we have, go to our website, click the courses link, and you'll receive all the information for how you can enroll. I hope you would find them to be quite helpful.
And now back to Surviving Narcissism with Dr. Carter.
Now, continuing on about how they actually can build a case against you, over time, as you engage with them and you've had more and more exchanges with them, you'll notice that they will increasingly invalidate your opinions, or they'll increasingly invalidate your feelings or your interpretations. For example, you might be with a coworker, and at first it's like, hey, we're going to be a great team here. Or it might be that it's the person you live with or you've married or that you have socialized with and you've shared so much with them. Over time, you might start hearing questions like, where did you come up with an idea like that? Or why would you think that's the best way of doing things? Or, no, we discussed it yesterday and that's not what we agreed to. It's this over here. And over time, you'll begin thinking, I don't know if there's anything I can think, say, or do that's going to meet your approval anymore. And as a result, they can be very harsh toward you. Sometimes they'll start off in a friendly harshness, if you know what I mean, but then it can be more and more blunt or directive. And then as a result, their anger can start coming out. It may start out slowly with agitation, but then it builds to even some explosions. And again, I recall another situation, and this was with a woman who made friends with another couple. And over time, the husband of that other couple started showing himself to being that critical kind of person and invalidating. And once they were in a discussion and she said the wrong thing, and boom, that guy came out, not just with how could you think like that, but it was just harsh. It was mean. You're the dumbest person I've ever met. And it was just like, where in the world did that come from? But over time, what they'll do is they'll just remind you, you just never have thought right. And I keep having to correct you, and I keep having to tell you what your opinion needs to be. And then finally, you become the foil because you're the one who just doesn't listen to all of their enlightenment. And so that becomes more and more of an ongoing presence. Now, as that continues, then another pattern will emerge that implies that you're being set up, is you'll notice that even as you experience some of the frustrations behind the scenes, these narcissistic individuals can be quite friendly in their public persona. How many times have you thought, let's say it's somebody that you live with and they start treating you with contempt behind the scenes, But in public, they're still that nicest person you ever met. I remember one woman talking about how it just drove her crazy whenever she would see her mother in public, because the mother was extremely narcissistic and harsh and critical. But in public, everybody thought, what a nice person. And everything she thinks and says and does is just so kind and helpful. But behind the scenes, she was a holy terror. And that's a very common thing. And as a result, you realize that friendliness, that kindness that they portray in public is little more than their own PR campaign. They'll eventually start saying to you, well, if you seem to have problems with me, all I can say is I don't have the same problem with everybody else. And everybody else, they appreciate me. All those nice things that I do for them, they come back and say thank you. And so you're the one who's misinterpreting things. When in fact, no, that's not the case. They're misrepresenting themselves in public, but then it sets you up to look like the foil. You're the ultimate one that just doesn't fit in, when in fact, no, you're the one that actually sees things more clearly than the average Joe or Jane out there. But that's how it works in the world of narcissism. Now, along with the same thing, another way that they will set you up as being a foil is they know that other people are watching you and they're also forming opinions about you. So many times, narcissists can slowly but surely start creating what we might call a whisper campaign against you. Another illustration. I knew a fellow who had gone into business with a business partner. And he made a lot of good decisions and the business was going well. But the business partner who was highly narcissistic was wanting to take over. And so slowly but surely he would speak to vendors and people that they had to work with and customers. And he would say things like, well, I hope that as you go forward with us, you can realize that my partner, we've been having some trouble, and I'm not going to get into details, but just know that if there's ever a problem, just come to me, okay? And as a result, that partner, who was supposedly the good guy in this story, was undermined and didn't even know that it was happening. And many times, narcissists in other kind of scenarios can have that same kind of mindset. One of the ways they like to control you is to control other people's perceptions of you. And again, if anything goes wrong then between you and that narcissistic person, then they can appeal to their friends and they can say, see, I've been telling you all along, this person's really difficult and now it's all happening. That's what I've been dealing with. And it's difficult to wrap your mind around the motivation of this because you're trying to think in that normal kind of way. But again, I go back and say narcissists are constantly posturing. They're in that competitive mode and they're constantly wanting others to see them as one up. And so part of them being one up is to have somebody who's one down, and that's you. And then whenever the problems come, then they have something to appeal to. And I know that there are some of you just scratching your head as you're listening to this thinking, do they plan this out? And it's like, well, it's just a way of life that has been on the inside of them for a long time. And then let's say one final thing that narcissists will do that sets you up to be the foil. And that is, they'll just gaslight the daylights out of you whenever you express your concerns. When you start talking with them about some of the emerging patterns between yourself and them, and you say, this is not working for me, or you didn't remember this very well because I have an entirely different perspective, then the gaslighting, which is an attempt to keep you in a confused state, what may prompt them to say something like, you got your facts wrong, or I talked to this person over here and they gave me an entirely different perspective. I don't think you're on the right page, or you seem to have some real hurt and pain that you're sitting on. They'll try to psychoanalyze you, for example, or they may say something to cause you to doubt the conclusions that you are drawing or the frustrations that you're sitting on. So all of this is part of the narcissistic scheme to make you out to be the foil, so that not if, but when the relationship begins to go south, then they can just shrug their shoulders and say to anybody that wants to listen, all I know is I've just given my best effort, and this person, meaning you, is just one of the most difficult individuals you've ever talked to. And so as the discard begins to happen, or as a relationship begins to crumble, they can say to other individuals, if you only knew this person the way that I know them. Or they can say to you, well, everybody else thinks that you're this terrific person, but I know you better. And as a result, it's kind of like they have this real smug mindset that says, no matter what you think, say, or do when it comes to me, I'm going to keep the upper hand. I need somebody to play the role of the difficult person, and that person is you. So here you are. You can be this deep into a relationship with that narcissistic individual, and you're just shaking your head thinking, oh, I've experienced these kinds of things so many times over. How am I going to respond to this? Well, let's first start with a stark reminder about who you're dealing with, and that is you're dealing with a person who has a long-standing commitment, and I use that word very specifically, to lies and distortions. And they also have a long-standing commitment to a false portrayal of who they are. We call it the false self. They want to position themselves as the person who knows best, who acts best, who's got the greatest intentions, because they have to stay in the superiority position. That's part of their compensation mode that's been living on the inside of them for the longest time. Way early on in life, these individuals realize that if you really show yourself to be human, kind of like when I mentioned about my wife and I like to know other people's humanity just as we'll share our humanity, the narcissist is thinking, oh no, I learned a long time ago, if I show my humanity, it is going to be curtains for me. And as a result, that's why I mean when I say they're deeply committed to a life of lies and distortions. Another thing for you to hold on to, and that is, no matter how strongly you protest, you're not going to get through to them. They're going to come back and all they'll say is, see, this is just more proof that you're an argumentative person, or see, this is just more proof that you're selfish, or you have your own attitudes that you just won't let go of. And so when you come on even more strongly, and then let's say that strong explanation that you try to give about yourself becomes agitated in the way that it sounds, then they'll say, well, there's exhibit A right there. Look at how awful you're being to me right this very moment. And so they'll use your tension and your confrontations against you. So what it means, and I'm going to say this, and it may sound defeatist. I hope it doesn't come across as too negative. But when you're dealing with a narcissist like that, you're going to need to go ahead and acknowledge that you may take a hit emotionally. And by that, what I mean is you may walk away from that person thinking, well, to that individual's dying day, they're going to continue to hold themselves as superior over me, and there's not a darn thing I can think or do about that that's going to make it any different. And so I'm just going to have to absorb the blow and keep going. I know that you'd like to make them have to pay. And by the way, this doesn't preclude you setting your boundaries and setting your stipulations and explaining yourself to people that are mutually engaged with you and that other individual and trying to share yourself. All of that is completely fair game. But you are going to have to remind yourself there's going to be a price that I'm going to have to pay. Because of my exposure to that narcissistic person, I'm going to feel disillusioned or hurt, but I'm hoping it doesn't turn into bitterness and hate in such a way that it just completely destroys you from the inside out, because it means that they've just gotten into your head and they've taken over, and we're not going to let that happen. So I'm hoping that as you begin to sense that, things just are not right between yourself and that narcissistic individual, that you're going to know what the name of the game is. They need you to look bad, and they set themselves up to be the one that looks good, or is the smart one, or is the one, the standard bearer. And there's probably not going to be a whole lot that you're going to be able to do with that person to convince them of the truth as you know it. But then let's end with this. And I don't want this to sound cliche, it's because I mean this down to the core of my being. But that is, your best defense with a person like that is good character. And if a narcissist wants to have a negative opinion of you, if they want to use all these tactics and ploys to keep you in the down position so that you can be the foil, you can be the one that they point to saying, see that person over there, that's the problem problem person. I'm hoping you can walk forward knowing, well, all I know is I'm working on having good character. I stand for dignity, respect, and civility, and as best as I'm able, I'm living into that, and as I age, I'm going to live into it even more so. And if the narcissist says, unimpressed, then my reaction is, I realize that, but you see, I've let go of my need to try to impress you because you're a master manipulator. If you need to see me as the one who's made your life miserable, then that's where you are. But I'm going to have as honest and realistic of an appraisal of who you are and of who I am. And sadly, I'm going to conclude that you are an individual who has a lot of trouble that you've not come to terms with. And I'm somebody who is trying to grow. And I'm not going to let you put your damaged soul into my mind and think that you're going to somehow gain control over me. That's not going to happen. So let's stay with this on Team Healthy, knowing that they want to use you as a foil, but I'm hoping you can decide, well, but I like who I am. I'm going to trust my judgment, and that narcissist can think anything he or she wants. The number one thing that I know is I'm truly living into my integrity, and that's not something that anyone can take away from you or me.
Thank you for joining us for this week's podcast. We are so glad to have you on Team Healthy.